This is a new day for New York 19.
Where is the good officers at? If 11 of them is no damn good, we want to know where the good ones at.
I believe the goal is beating Donald Trump.
Watch your
tongue. What do you mean? She just called me names.
So I don't give a f-
she
spoke the truth.
Whoa, look at that. There's a beaver 5 feet from us. Usually they whack their tails on the water and try to scare you off. That was a pretty brave beaver.
We've learned some tough lessons, and those lessons are we have to hold people accountable.
Hello again, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we're covering President Trump's taxes and who should be able to see them, and a race for school board in Saratoga Springs that has focused largely on armed guards in schools. But first, a public official in the North Country has died suddenly. Former Plattsburgh City Councilor Becky Casper is perhaps best known for her blunt criticism of the city's current mayor when she resigned her seat last year. That mayor, Colin Reed, emailed the community Wednesday evening announcing Casper had died at home at age 54. She began her second term when Ward 4 independent Peter Ensel was first elected. He sat next to her and praises her dedication and concern for the city.
She had a very good and really kind of a deep cutting sense of humor. Without getting too specific, there were times where I'd be sitting next to her at a council meeting, and all of a sudden I'd hear a little remark come out, and I'd have to put my hand over my mouth so that I couldn't break out laughing.
Casper was also the director of the Center for Teaching Excellence at SUNY Plattsburgh. Two bills approved in the New York State Senate this week could affect President Donald Trump and his associates. One would permit the state tax department to give the president's New York tax returns to congressional committees. The other would ensure that anyone the president pardons for federal crimes could still be prosecuted for crimes committed in New York State. Here's Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt.
Several congressional committees have been seeking President Trump's tax returns in connection with a number of investigations. The committees say they have the legal right to see the documents, but Trump has refused to release them, saying he's in the process of being audited, and his Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has declined to hand over the papers to the committees, setting up a potential court fight. State Senator Brad Hoylman, a Democrat, is the sponsor of a bill that would create an alternative means for the Democratic congressional committees to see the president's tax returns.
I think a lot of New Yorkers and, frankly, Americans have questions as to what he's hiding.
New York lawmakers don't have authority over federal taxes, but they do have influence over state tax policy. The bill would authorize the state's Department of Taxation to release the president's tax returns if they are requested by leaders of three congressional committees and if there is a legitimate purpose to do so.
We are providing an opportunity for Congress to perform its very important oversight responsibilities, and I think we have a responsibility to do so as the state that is the home state of President Trump and many of his businesses.
Hoylman says the information in the state tax filings could likely mirror the president's federal tax filings.
We don't know for certain what is in, for example, the president's state filings, but we do know there's a lot of information, and I've been told by my own congressman, House Judiciary Chair Jerry Nadler, that that's information they'd really like to have.
In addition to the House Judiciary Committee, the House Ways and Means Committee, and the Joint Committee on Taxation are seeking the returns. Even though the congressional committees could get the tax returns under the proposal, the public would not necessarily see them. It would be up to requesting committees whether they wanted to share the tax returns publicly. The bill was approved by a key state Senate committee in late April, and Hoylman says it has 33 co-sponsors, including the Senate leader, Andrea Stewart-Cousins. 32 votes are needed for passage. Governor Andrew Cuomo initially had some reservations about what he said would be the politicization of the tax filing process in New York. But he's now on board, he says, as long as the bill applies to all politicians, regardless of the party or elected office that they hold. Cuomo spoke on public radio station WAMC on April 9th.
You know, if we have passed a law that is clearly designed to help a Democratic Congress access Donald Trump's tax return, it'll be in the courts for years, because this really does raise serious constitutional questions. So the broader you make it, the better.
Cuomo says he wants everyone who runs for public office in New York to be required to release their tax returns. The bill has not yet advanced in the Assembly, though it has a majority party sponsor and the backing of over 90 Democrats in the 150-member House. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says he doesn't want to comment on the bill until his Democratic members discuss it in their private weekly meetings.
On bills like this, we just like to have a conversation internally to see if this is where members really want to go.
The state Senate plans to vote soon on the measure. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Well, school safety is a daily concern for educators, parents, and students, and it hit home again this week with a shooting at STEM school Highlands Ranch in Colorado. In New York's Capital Region, seven candidates are vying for three open seats on the Saratoga Springs City School District Board of Education. The sometimes contentious campaign has focused on the issue of safety after the school board last fall chose not to renew a practice that allowed grounds monitors to carry guns. WAMC's Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard reports on a candidates' forum just before the election.
Seven school board candidates took questions from the audience at Saratoga Springs High School Wednesday night. At the event hosted by the League of Women Voters of Saratoga County, the candidates, vying for the three open seats on the Board of Education, discussed classroom size, arts funding, student well-being, and other issues. But the first question asked by the moderator, and perhaps the one on most people's minds, was about guns.
What is your position on having any school personnel armed with guns? And if you have plans to have armed resource officers in schools, how do you plan to pay for salaries and insurance required?
The candidates have split into two separate camps on the issue. Three of the candidates, Sean Wiggins, Ed Kubanski, and Dean Colligan, have accepted endorsements from the group Saratoga Parents for Safer Schools, which formed last fall after the decision that effectively removed firearms from 11 grounds monitors. The group has raised more than $30,000 for its candidates and has hired National Republican political consultant Spence Rogers, though the group claims it is nonpartisan and not focused on a single issue. The other candidates are John Brugman, Natalia Laktakia, and Connie Wojtowicz. Incumbent school board member Heather Reynolds is running for re-election. Wojtowicz last month dropped the endorsement of the Safer Schools group after it criticized the other candidates on social media. But despite all of the drama in the headlines, the candidates Wednesday night did not attack each other or mention the Safer Schools group. Each candidate explained their position on the guns issue. John Brugman, a Skidmore College professor, said the real gains in safety are to be found in prevention.
My concern about the grounds monitors is that they, under the current situation, they don't have advanced training for working with young people, for working with special needs kids. They don't have expert supervision. The school district is not equipped to provide expert supervision of armed personnel here.
Brugman does support the district's two armed school resource officers. An additional SRO was brought on this school year in partnership with the Saratoga County Sheriff. Next to answer was Connie Wojtowicz, a New York State master teacher who teaches at Colony Central High School and past PTA president at the Division Street Elementary School in Saratoga Springs. She supports rearming grounds monitors.
Two SROs for a district of our scope and size is not adequate. In my own home district, I would like to point out I am the only K-12 educator up here. In my own home district, we have more than that.
Wojtowicz argued providing new training and authorization to grounds monitors to carry weapons would be cheaper than hiring additional SROs. Sean Wiggins, who touts his experience as a business owner specializing in security, as well as his past career with the U.S. Department of Defense, says ideally he'd like to see more SROs, but he adds the district doesn't have the budget.
absent that budget, what we need to do is have a stopgap measure. So I support having armed security. There is a statute at the state level where armed security can be the security guards or they can have peacekeeper authority. There must be peacekeeper authority involved in here, period.
Candidate Ed Kubansky, a retired U.S. Coast Guard captain, also supports rearming grounds monitors because, as he puts it, seconds matter.
What the grounds monitor would be doing, and talking to the professionals personally, one-on-one, that I have had, they said they are a stopgap measure. They're to identify where the threat is coming from, and then when the police arrive, then they would direct them there and turn the incident over to the incident commander, which would be the fire chief. So the grounds monitors, they have the experience.
Several, but not all, of the district's grounds monitors are retired law enforcement. Candidate Natalia Laktakia supported the addition of a second SRO, a speech-language pathologist who works with children. She does not want to rearm grounds monitors.
I work with a lot of students who have behavioral needs. It is a concern for me to think about them interacting with people who are responsible for disciplining them and managing their behaviors and having those people have weapons. I do not believe that lethal weapons should be part of school discipline.
Heather Reynolds is the only one of the seven current candidates who is currently on the Board of Education. She has defended the board's action to not rearm grounds monitors, which she said is compliant with the Gun-Free Schools Act that prohibits personnel from arming themselves without district authorization. She has said there was no decision on record that authorized the grounds monitors to arm themselves. She praised the ongoing work of the Saratoga Springs District Emergency Response Team to promote a positive school climate.
We have a continuous improvement model for safety. They're always assessing how we can make physical or procedural changes. And there's been a real shift this year that has been so positive in terms of focusing on prevention.
Candidate Dean Colligan, who promotes his experience on several community boards, believes any of the former law enforcement officers who had carried weapons within the school district should be able to retain that ability. With regard to training, he contrasted the former law enforcement officers working as grounds monitors to the district's policies on substitute teachers.
Why is it okay for us to bring back folks that have been retired in an educational profession and task them with the education and training of our youth today in something that they may not have done in the past 10 years or so, but it's not okay to take a retired law enforcement individual if we provide them the continual education and training, the ability to act in that role here within the district?
Board of Education elections for the Saratoga Springs City School District are May 21st. For WAMC News, I'm Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard.
And that's all for this edition of the WAMC News podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.